Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Odds Couple. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Scott. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Let's get started with what say you, NBA playoffs. Continue to be very, very exciting. Last night, Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat at home, they advance as they knocked off the Chicago Bulls, but a great effort by Chicago. Once again, we've gone on record many times over the past few weeks, few months. Really hard to fathom that any team is going to beat LeBron James, the Big Three, the Miami Heat, four times in a seven-game series. What say you?
Well, I agree with you. And the Bulls went in, stole game one. And you could just see the fatigue and the decimation from the injuries for the Bulls, and the Heat really took advantage in games 2, 3, and 4. And we saw a Warriors effort last night, meaning not the Golden State Warriors, but a gallant effort last night from the Bulls, who had the lead late. Nate Washington was Robinson was great, and Carlos Boozer were great. But the Heat just in the fourth quarter, when the game was on the line, they shut down the Bulls. They got the points. They got the win. They get to rest now.
The Bulls stole game one, then the Miami Heat went on to win four consecutive games, but I still love this Bulls team. I like their coach. I like the fact that they bring the energy, the effort, the passion, the drive. The defensive part of the game is always a big part of what the Chicago Bulls do on a game in, game out basis. But forget Derrick Rose not being able to play, being out for about a year now. They had a slew of other injuries, but yet they were right there.
He's played as many games this year as Michael Jordan did. It was a year for Derrick Rose, and I know Anthony will probably talk about this tomorrow a little bit when he's on the show with you about Derrick Rose, as he thinks he should have come back and play. But even if Derrick Rose was back in this series with the other injuries to Luol Deng and Kurt Heinrich, it still wouldn't have made a difference. Maybe they win another game. They're not winning the series, and they're not advancing to the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference, winning the Eastern Conference, because they're not going to beat the Heat. They just don't have that kind of depth to be able to do it. While Derrick Rose probably should have played, at some point you're saying, come on, let's go, lace him up, let's go play some basketball. At the same time, I don't think it would have made a difference in the series.
Something ridiculous, the Miami Heat, as good as they are something like 45-4 in their last 49 games. I mean, this team won the NBA championship a year ago, and yet they're better than they were a year ago.
Well, I think they're deeper, and they've got, I mean, you look at where they're getting their effort. When you look at the box score and what happened last night, and you look at now with Dwayne Wade being injured, is from the depth standpoint, when you're able to bring guys, obviously they went out and got Ray Allen, and then you're able to bring Norris Cole off the bench, who's been very good in this series. Didn't have a lot of points last night, but he's been, the game before in Chicago, game four, he was terrific in that series. Then you got Chris Anderson, who they don't have a lot of length when it comes to the Miami Heat, and Birdman actually serves a purpose with that team other than being a freak show.
Birdman is a freak show, but he does serve a purpose on this team, and he was a good clog for the Denver Nuggets, a good role player. I mean, he comes in, plays good defense, blocks some shots. Yes, he's a freak, but so was Dennis Rodman. But Rodman knew his role, and not to compare Anderson, Birdman, to Rodman, but the Birdman, again, he is a good rebounder. He blocks shots, and they have some role players on this team. We know about the big three with Wade, who has not been 100%.
Right.
Bosch, James. But the supplemental parts with the signing of Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, Shane Battier has been a mainstay, an anchor of this team. They're well coached. I mean, their coach, people forget, he was number two. He was voted second for Coach of the Year.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra took a lot of heat at the beginning of last year when because he was a young guy, and how much respect does he get when I've got King LeBron and D. Wade and now Chris Bosh, and I think he's earned that respect by the fact that they won a championship, which they hadn't won before, so instantly he's get that respect. And this year they're actually better than they were a year ago, and the interesting thing is they had guys like James Jones and Joel Anthony, the former Rebel, who didn't play last night, who had been vital parts of their team in the past as well. So they're, when you've got guys now like Anthony, who's a great defensive player, who's not even on the floor, can't get minutes, it tells you how much deeper they are.
Miami Heat advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, taking on the Indiana Pacers or the New York Knicks. I think we tend to agree it's going to probably be the Pacers at this point.
Yeah, I think so. Game 5 tonight of that series when it comes to the Knicks and the Pacers. And, I, you know, like you talked about with the New Jersey Nets earlier, the Knicks are an enigma to me. I mean, you know, they're acting like they're the greatest thing ever. You know, maybe it's the Carmelo attitude or whatever. And I heard an interview with him, and actually he said all the right things, so I shouldn't give him any grief about it. But the Knicks just seem to have this attitude about them that they've accomplished things. So what that you won the division? You're down 3-1 to Indiana. So you better win 3 straight, otherwise you're going home playing golf and it doesn't matter anyway.
You're down 3-1 to the Indiana Pacers, and you were favored to beat the Pacers. There's no shame if you are not projected to win.
Right.
If you're a considerable sized dog and you come on to win, or if you should lose. But the fact that you're a good size favorite, I mean, it's good to have confidence, but there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance.
Where was that series when it opened up? What was the number?
The Knicks were, I'm trying to remember, so many numbers in my head constantly, not from
minus
playing, not from
40-150, couldn't have been
not
too big
from
big.
Not from playing bingo either.
Right.
But yeah, I don't recall. All I know is that I looked at it, didn't see any value. Today, it's like, wow, why wasn't I on the Pacers plus the juice? But yeah, the right. Knicks were. I'm sure they were bigger, a favorite than that.
You think?
Absolutely.
Well, they're in trouble now. Obviously, they go back home and they'll have to win 3 in a row. But 2 of those could be in Madison Square Garden. But the Pacers won game 1 there. They can win on the road. They're a good team, and the Knicks have been outplayed thoroughly in the previous, in the previous 2 games, I should say, in Indianapolis. So where's the difference tonight? I mean, you looked at the other game last night with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Grizzlies. Exact same situation. The road team up 3-1, the lower seeded team going into the home barn for game 5, and the Grizzlies got the job done. What's to say that the Pacers wouldn't do the same thing tonight?
Well, here's what you have. The Pacers, the Bulls, the Grizzlies, they're half-court defensive-minded teams, even the Spurs. I mean, because even though the Spurs have improved tremendously offensively, Popovich says it starts and stops with their defense. But some teams are tailor-made for the playoffs. I mean, the Bulls hung in there with absolutely no depth, 3 to 4 key guys out for a majority part of the series, and yet they were in the series. So I look at the Knicks, and they're kind of like the Denver Nuggets of the Western Conference. They're a very sexy, fun, high-profile team that you enjoy watching the Carmelo Anthony show in the regular season, but that does not parlay into postseason success. I mean, again, it's about defense, half-court sets.
Well, or Josh Smith, or, you know, who the Sixth Man of the Year award, which I know is your favorite award.
least favorite.
NBA. Yeah, it makes him the 150-something best player in the league. Way to go, Josh.
Congratulations.
Here's the Mediocrity Award. Welcome in. But, you know, you've got guys in that particular team, a lot of pressure on Tyson Chandler to do all of the rebounding because the other guys aren't big rebounders, and the Pacers are a bigger, longer team, and they're a better rebounding team. And if you don't shoot particularly well, it doesn't mean the Pacers are going to lose. I thought Tom Thibodeau, the Bulls coach, brought up a great point after they lost game 4 and they played so horribly. And I remember you had the under in that game and it went under by 30 points and the Bulls scored 65. And Thibodeau said, a bad shooting night doesn't mean we have to lose. We can still play defense. We can still make it hard for the other team. We can still rebound. We can still get extra possessions. We can still make things happen with extra effort. And he was more disappointed about that part of the game than the fact that they shot 25%. You're going to have bad shooting nights. The question is, are you willing to get under the boards and fight for rebounds and extra possessions and put back baskets, which are obviously a much higher percentage than a jump shot?
He's a great, great coach, and I couldn't agree more with what the Chicago Bulls coach talked about because, again, you're going to be able to shoot, but you're not going to be able to shoot 50, 60% every night unless your name's Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. And even then, we see that it's tough to sustain that
right
night in, night out, especially against a good quality team in a 7-game series. But that's what I like about teams like the Pacers, the Grizzlies, the Bulls, is defense. You can play defense home and away.
Right.
If you rely strictly on finesse and or outside shooting, hey, man, I mean, it's a lot easier to make a living at home than it is on the road. But even then, it's the best jump shooter on the planet. It's going to shoot anywhere from 40 to 45%.
No, and you're right. And even a great player, unless they're going to the basket to get that higher percentage shot, if you're settling for the 15 to 18 to 20-foot jump shots, your percentage is going to be significantly lower than when you're hitting five-footers. We talked about this about a week and a half ago. The percentage of baskets from 5 feet and in, the field goal percentage is 65 to 70%, and outside of it, it's between 30 and 40%. Just a monster difference.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. This is very, very exciting. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured all over my own website, PritchardsPicks.com. In addition to that, check me out, VegasInsider.com. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official, his site, RefPicks.com. I'm joined by Brett Grant, the GM at KSHP AM 1400 Radio. The studio line is open at 702-221-7283. We would love to field live chat questions through Vegas Video Network and or live studio questions at 702-221-7283. Had a gentleman, I believe his name was Dave, but I'm not sure, yesterday call in talking about the tremendous disparity on big fat money lines and how so many places in Las Vegas will not even let you bet into, whether you lay the big fat minus or take the big fat plus. A couple of three places, Cantor Gaming, of course, and then LVH, Jay Carnegie, who's a class act. I saw him last night. Oh, you did?
Okay.
Yeah, he used to be at IP, mm-hmm. Imperial Palace, yep. But he will actually take a bet. The only thing is, I'm not fond of LVH as a professional sports bettor. I like the fact that they will take a bet, but their lines are sharp. I mean, you don't find a lot of disparity of these other
meaning
places.
you're looking for the edge, and they're not giving it to you because they're pretty savvy.
I like the fact that they'll let you bet. I mean, if you want to bet thousands on a game, great. But I like independent sports books to where they might, well, they do limit me to $500 on a total, but at least I'll find a half point and a half, the best of it, which short term may not seem like much, but long term it's very, very significant.
Sure.
So we're going to keep things moving. Another game last night took place, the Memphis Grizzlies on the road, Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, this series opened Oklahoma City with four of the seven games being at home. They were, as the top seed, they were favored to win, but the money came in on Memphis. So Grizzlies closed $125 to $130 favorite going into game one. Durant hit a basket to put them up 93-91, 11 seconds to go. But then the Memphis Grizzlies won every single game. And, boy, I love, as I've said for months, I've said two things. One, I love their starting five. I love their coach. But I also have called this team out as a bit of a fraud because they are so thin. They traded away their best player in Rudy Gay, and they traded their bench. They have no bench. But these guys are like machines. They play 40-plus extended minutes a game. Every time I look up, their starting five's in the game.
Well, Randolph and Gasol both played more than 40 minutes last night. Conley played 39. And a huge second quarter for the Grizzlies really kind of decimated the Thunder. The Thunder made a charge in the third. They got close towards the end. And you thought, after Zach Randolph missed those two foul shots at the end of the game, that Kevin Durant was going to find a way to get this game into overtime. And he got a wide-open look. He probably settled for a 15-foot jump shot instead of going to the basket. And he had time, I thought, to drive to the basket, get foul. We know he's a great foul shooter, or make a layup and maybe get a foul. It didn't happen that way. But I tell you what, Marc Gasol, to me, in watching that game, he only had 10 points. But those were the most crucial 10 points I've ever seen a guy score. Every basket he got was just a dagger of a basket. When Oklahoma City's making a charge back, Gasol throws up a rainbow. I saw Skittles coming down on a couple of those. They were so high up. But they barely touched the net. They were huge, huge shots down the stretch.
I know this Memphis Grizzlies team very, very well. And I have to say that, I mean, do they not watch any game film? I mean, the thing with Gasol is he's like a 9-foot dude. But he is comfortable about 20 feet from the basket, and he has that ugly set shot. It's only ugly until it catches nothing but net. The guy, right. And then there's a reason why he shoots around 80-85% from the free throw line. He is a finesse player.
Right.
He's tough defensively, and I've said this before. It's amazing. He was voted defensive player of the year by the media, although according to the players and coaches, he didn't even make the first team. But he is a solid, solid center. But he's not a low post threat. He has the baby hook, and but again, offensively, not a factor in the post. But why would you not contest his? How many does he have to make before you say, gosh, you know, maybe I should contest that shot?
That's a good point. But he wasn't really hurting the Thunder last night until the very end when it mattered the most.
Timing is everything,
yeah,
right?
And I give Gasol all the credit in the world. On the other side, I feel bad for Kevin Durant, who obviously had to carry a monster load. He played all 48 minutes last night. He was 5 of 21 from the floor. And ironically, the Thunder were 2-0 before the Russell Westbrook injury. They finished the playoffs 2-6 without him. So obviously a huge difference and a huge loss when you lose your superstar point guard.
No doubt about it, although I'm a little bit surprised because, I mean, Russell Westbrook is a very good player. The knock on him has been that he shoots too much. But, boy, talk about being the field general of this team,
right,
their leader. They felt 2-6 after being 2-0, and we know what they did. They racked up the most wins in the Western Conference, and that's saying a lot because the West, unlike the East, they're stacked top-heavy with talent. They're right. Top seven teams. I mean, you have parity there. In the East, you have the Miami Heat and no one else. But Russell Westbrook really, really hurt the Thunder, more specifically Kevin Durant. But I want to talk about Kevin. I'm a big fan. The guy is a pure shooter, automatic free throw shooter. But look at this. Come on, man. You have got to win this game. I give the Grizzlies all the credit in the world, but here's the point. I watched the latter stages of that game last night. Why? There's a huge difference between Kevin Durant and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would constantly force himself to go to the basket.
Right.
You're going to get the home court call. Instead, even Durant had some open looks. I get that, but they were hurried. They were rushed. Tony Allen is a defensive stud horse. I love this guy. First team all defense. I mean, he is the man. He was the man in Boston. He was the man at Oklahoma State. He's the man now for the Memphis Grizzlies. But Durant, he has to man up. Yeah, I get it. 48 minutes. That's asking a lot. But the game, right, the franchise is riding on your shoulders, and you're settling for 15, 20-foot jumpers, hurried and rushed. Go to the basket.
Well, okay, I understand what you're saying, but when you lose your other guy, if you're, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid's not around anymore, now you got your role, plus you're taking on a lot of his role. I mean, Durant was bringing the ball up a lot. He was now the court general, so to speak. He was the guy getting them into their offense. Nobody else really stepped up and helped. I mean, even whether it's I thought Reggie Jackson played pretty well, but guys like Serge Ibaka and Seth Alosha, they didn't do anything to elevate their games up, and now it all fell onto the back of Kevin Durant, and I just think he got tired. I mean, even Jordan, as great as he was, Steve Kerr and John Paxton, those guys.
Bobby Hansen, the first year they
won. Those guys made shots. They came out of nowhere.
Craig Hodges.
B.J. Armstrong. You know, Rodman got rebounds and kicked him back out. He got other guys elevating their games. And when Jordan couldn't get to the basket and had to kick to somebody, Steve Kerr, boom, they made those shots. Armstrong, yes, for three. They'd make those shots. And that didn't happen. I mean, Ibaka and Seth Alosha those guys needed to get into the 20s each and every night, and they didn't do it. And it came to Durant. Yeah, he was 5 of 21 last night, but somebody else has to really elevate their game when you lose somebody like that. I mean, he's already the superstar.
I would
he's
agree with
enough
that.
Enough pressure on himself.
The only thing, and the role players did not step up. My least favorite player in the league, Derek Fisher, was horrendous last night.
3 of 11 last
right.
night.
And right, and 3 of 11 from the three-point line.
Yeah.
And Durant was unselfish. I mean, he, at least Fisher, most of the time was having open looks. Durant always under duress. And I know you're not making excuses for Kevin Durant because he's a marquee player, but inside of the last 5 minutes of a game, man, you're at home. You have to win. You have to go to the basket.
Oh, I agree with that strategy.
I understand
yes.
He's a little bit fatigued and right. this and that, and you want to get other players involved, but the last 5 minutes of the game, man, it's go time, and you had a shot.
Well, the other thing is you look at Scott Brooks, you're saying, look, do I want him to have 48 minutes on the floor? Let's take off a minute at the end of the first quarter and a minute at the beginning of the second quarter and then get him back in the game. He probably gets a 5-6-7 minute break. Same thing going into halftime or in between the third and the fourth quarter. So he can get a couple of minutes to get a blow, get a drink, get re-energized. I agree with you at the end, especially the last shot in a two-point game. He settled for a 15-foot jump shot. Yes, he was open, but he could have gone right down the lane, challenged Gasol, dunked it over him, might have gotten a foul if he didn't make the basket, might have made the basket and gotten the foul, a chance to win. I definitely agree there. He's got to go to the basket.
You're bailing out the defense if you settle for the jumper. And, again, he's a dead-eye shot, but still fatigue, 48 minutes, bound to have an adverse effect. And we saw it last night. So the Miami Heat, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Memphis Grizzlies, they're in the Western Conference Finals.
First time ever for the Grizzlies. So
right.
We should say congratulations to Lionel Hollins, the former Las Vegas Bandit coach.
Right on.
They were bandits. They still owe me money, by the way.
Is that right?
Yes, they do. Not Lionel Persney.
Right, yeah, okay.
The guy that owned the place.
You want to expand on that?
We carry the games.
Right.
They haven't paid for it yet.
And they still
That was like a decade ago. Let's put it that way. I wrote that off as a bad debt a long time ago.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a few of those bad debts.
Yeah, exactly.
Two ex-wives that I've... I don't think they're listening.
No.
Do ladies listen to this show? I think they do.
Sure.
Some ladies do.
I think Jessica's listening.
A select few ladies, I think, listen to this show. I mean, my audience is sports bettors. And I know from going to the sports books, I don't see many ladies smoking cigars.
I think Amanda would probably smoke some cigars.
I think she has smoked a few cigars. Amanda Blow.
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about?
Or Monica Lewinsky. I'm not sure.
Either way.
Who she was. Exactly.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. Great to have you with us. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper. Check me out on PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. We have a segment called Spin to Win. The professional sports bettor knows that you never bet with your heart. You only bet with your head. Check your emotions. Check your ego at the door. I'm going to spin the wheel. Big game tonight. The Golden State Warriors hosting the San Antonio Spurs. It's game six. Spurs are up 3-2. And the point spread for this game, Spurs, small favorite, 1.5. I'm going to spin it to win it. I am forced to make an argument for whichever team. Brett automatically has to take the opposing team because the smart bettor knows that you should be able to make an argument for either team before you step up and put your money on.
Who do you want to?
I want the Spurs.
That's who you got.
All right. I'll take it. San Antonio Spurs, this is cheap. They're laying 1.5 at Golden State. I'll tell you why this is cheap. I've talked about it before, and of course I was on the Spurs the last time they were in Golden State, actually game three, similar situation. Actually, they were getting 2.5, 3 points is what I played. In this case, the Spurs, I mean, especially based on what happened last night, there's urgency here. They do not want to give the Memphis Grizzlies too much time because they're a tired, fatigued team. They have no bench, the Grizzlies. So the Spurs need to take care of business now. For all intent and purpose, they had Game 4 won. They blew an 8-point lead thanks to the refs in the last 4:49 of that game. Overtime, random. Anything can happen. Spurs were outscored 13-3. Tonight, Spurs minus 1.5. The Warriors are getting way too much respect. I mentioned before, late in the season, I was at the Palms watching the Spurs play the Warriors. It was 5, 5.5. And that was without the Spurs being healthy and the Warriors having David Lee. Now, Lee may play tonight, limited minutes, 5 to 8 minutes. He's pretty much a non-factor. Leonard and Green are two defensive stalwarts, and they have figured out how to contain, slow down. You're not going to stop Curry and Thompson, but they combined for 6-for-22 shooting, 13 points the last game. San Antonio Spurs minus 1.5 is cheap. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, ring up the ringer, see the cashier.
Boy, you're just abusing that thing.
Pretty much, I'm pretty cocky with this game. The Spurs win. Spurs win going away.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about this game is, and to use a hockey term, it's 6-on-5. I got Joey Crawford on my side,
oh,
too.
Oh, man, now
he's
concerned.
He's one of the referees in this game. You're toast. You might as well just go home. Forget about it. You have no chance.
For whatever reason, friends, we talk about this, that when I handicap baseball totals and games, I always check to see who the home plate umpire is, and those stats are available. And I've talked for years about Joey Crawford, the ref, NBA, one of the officials. David Stern does not like Greg Popovich. This isn't news. This isn't anything new. But San Antonio Spurs fans will tell you there's a conspiracy. Crawford, Stern versus Pop, even Duncan. I mean, Duncan and Ginobili, Parker, they do not like Crawford, and there's no love lost between this. So it's just interesting to me. Such a big, big game, and Crawford has been assigned the game. Now, he's a dead under ref, by the way. The three officials tonight, I'll get into that a little bit later. Two of the three are dead under officials. The one dude is a slight over, but I did not mean to interrupt. But Crawford, he's officiating, is big news.
That was called a layup, Scott.
I like that.
I laid that up for you because I knew you had some information.
I wanted to hit it out of the park.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, the Warriors are 5-1 against the spread in their last six home games. 5-1, including 2-0 against the Spurs at Oracle Arena. Make sure you have your headphones on, by the way, because it gets loud in there.
I've heard.
You know, the under, you mentioned the under. The Spurs are 12-3-1 in their last 16 road games to the under. So I think the under is something to maybe take a look at in this particular spot. Steph Curry, obviously, Klay Thompson, down 3-2. You want to be at home. It's been a seesaw series. It's been a very even series. No reason for me to believe that the Warriors can't force a Game 7 back in San Antonio. I think you're, as Anthony says, or Dwight was saying earlier in the week, they're old. They're old. Games back, overtime game back on Sunday, a game on Tuesday, now back on Thursday, travel in between. I think that could be a factor on Tim Duncan's legs and Manu Ginobili. They better bring their canes. They're going to be chasing Steph Curry and Klay Thompson around the court. I get the home team. I get points. All right, I'll take it.
Don't believe everything you hear when it comes to my good buddy Daryl and my good buddy Anthony Padilla.
I'm sorry, I said Dwight, but Daryl, yes.
I thought maybe that was his nickname.
I had it with a D. I was close.
You remember Amanda's name.
Isn't that shocking?
But you forget Daryl's.
Isn't that just shocking?
But you've never heard me say that this Spurs team is old, and you'll never hear me say it, because don't confuse old with proven. Tim Duncan is having one of his best seasons ever, averaging a double-double. He's in absolute great shape. Tony Parker, proven. Manu Ginobili, the idea is, where are we today? The Spurs are healthy, hungry, annoyed. They're going to make quick work of the Golden State Warriors tonight. I'm surprised it's actually gone this far, but things have a way of playing out the way they should. I mean, for all intent and purpose, the Warriors blew a 16-point lead, 4 minutes to go in game one, so they probably should have won that game. The Spurs forced overtime, ultimately ended up winning. But the last game, the Spurs, the last game that they lost, okay, I believe it was game four, they were up 8, 4:49 to go before giving that game away, compliments of the refs. But we don't make excuses here on the odds couple, but we have to analyze numbers, odds, laws of probability. Who are the officials? Are there any vendettas out there? Are there any conspiracies? I didn't used to think so, but then I started reading excerpts from Tim Donaghy's book, exactly. And now I'm and the
concerned.
Reason I say that, I'm concerned because here's what we have. Please understand, you check your emotions at the door, but when you have a lot of money at stake and you read that two big games were on the take, a la Game 7, the Portland Trailblazers up 13 points in the fourth quarter against the Lakers, only to find out, per what Tim Donaghy said in his book about Dick Bavetta, who Dick Bavetta is the go-to guy in the NBA.
Right.
He's Stern's golden boy. He wants a competitive series, and this lends itself to dogs, okay? Bavetta, he'll always have that team win, but take the points, because no one wants to see a 30-point blowout.
Right.
So, and the numbers bear that, okay? I'm just sharing information based on the book that Tim Donaghy wrote that David Stern tried to block. It's the book that the NBA did not want out. Well, Tim Donaghy made mistakes. He's paid his debt to society, 11 years in prison, NBA official from 1994 to 2007. I'm on his site today, refpicks.com. What did I say?
11 years.
11 years. I'm sure it seemed like
it might
11
be,
years.
Just like our show today.
11 months in federal prison. Now, but it's interesting because Game 7 of the Portland Lakers, I had a big future on Portland to win the NBA title, which, of course, the Lakers steamrolled Indiana in the finals that year. And then, of course, Game 6, Sacramento Kings, I had them at 7-1, worth about $42,000 against the Laker girls. And that game was on the take. Getting back to the Portland, you might look at me like, well, how can you say that? It sounds like sour grapes. Well, I've never discussed this until I read the book, because friends of mine, fellow professional sports bettors, said, man, that Portland Laker Game 7 was
a little dicey.
It was. And I just said, nah, that's just sour grapes. So I never gave it a second thought until I read Tim Donaghy's book, knowing that Bavetta was one of the officials, and also looking at the numbers, 37-16. 37 free throws for the Laker girls, 16 for Portland. And I'm still not calling out the refs. I'm not. It might sound like it, but Rasheed, overrated, overhyped Wallace, the most overhyped player on the planet in any sports, a whiner, a crier, a crybaby. Because of this guy, we have a tech rule, 16 technicals in a season, right, and then you serve suspensions. Thanks to Rasheed Wallace. Your parents must be so proud. But Rasheed Wallace, Brian Grant, Steve Smith.
I have a brother named Brian Grant, by the way.
These guys did not go to the basket. So maybe that's why you only attempted 16 free throws. But 37 free throws to 16. And then the other conspiracy was Game 6, Sacramento versus the Lakers. Big future, $42,000 on the Sacramento Kings. And, of course, according to the book, they said, okay, we'll try to tweak this. The league wants it to go seven games.
Right.
And then the best team will win Game 7. Well, guess what? Sacramento had home court for Game 7. That's great. But the problem is they're a bad free throw shooting team. And again, you can't blame it on the refs. And I'm not. I'm just saying, gosh, this is pretty sickening, knowing that so much was at stake. 13 of 27, Sacramento. So the refs were not the ones bricking free throws right and left. So when I bring it to your attention that Joey Crawford is officiating tonight, buyer beware. Word on the street has it that there's a vendetta, and has been, against the Spurs and Popovich for years. Talk to anyone in San Antonio, they will tell you what I'm telling you. So it's just kind of interesting to me. Big game, Game 6. I like the Spurs, but Joey Crawford is one of the officials.
Well, it is interesting, and the one thing about the NBA versus any other sport, people always say, oh, they want the big markets, they want this. The NBA is not necessarily about the market as much as they are about the star. And I'm sure they hated to see Kevin Durant go by the wayside in their game last night. I'm sure they would love to have the Knicks advance as far as possible, but they'd probably rather make sure LeBron's over here and that they can get a superstar from the West. They know they're going to have a good series going in. But it is interesting to see how these games kind of shake out. But, yeah, Portland's won championships. You know, teams like Utah were in the finals. Phoenix was in the finals. But if you think about those teams, it was Karl Malone and John Stockton. It was, you know, it was Bill Walton and those guys in Portland. It was Charles Barkley in Phoenix. You know, when Indiana went to the finals, it was Reggie Miller, a superstar, going to the finals. When it was Orlando, it was Shaquille O'Neal, a superstar, going to the finals. You don't see the Milwaukee Bucks heading to the finals very often.
Well, you did when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right, back in the
but,
day.
But
right.
That has to do in 1971. But that has to do
did
with
the Kansas City Royals ever get there? Or the Kansas City Kings?
You'd have to ask Don Dickinger.
The Kansas City Kings, I should say. Yeah, Don Dickinger, he's one of my favorites. Believe me, as a Cardinal fan.
Well, and, we know.
And we still talk about Don Dickinger. Now, that was 1985. I was a senior in high school when that happened. So I was at a St. Louis Blues hockey game with a small little 13-inch television set with my buddy. We were watching the baseball game while we're at the hockey game. And even on that little 13-inch TV, we knew that Todd Wardell had gotten the out. And Dickinger, of course, the Cardinals, that was only Game 6. They went on to lose Game 6 and then got hammered in Game 7. But Don Dickinger's name is basically Satan to Cardinal fans.
Well, we talk about the NBA, and it is a star-driven league. That's why, in defense of the Memphis Grizzlies, I was happy to see defense be awarded, because Tony Allen was on Kevin Durant last night, but Kevin Durant, you didn't even involve the officials.
Right.
You put it on the official to make the call, but if you're settling for jump shots, there's nothing they can do. I mean, for years, Rajah Bell, defensive star, but he always got railroaded going up against Kobe Bryant. And Donaghy talks about that in his book. So,
right.
Again, it's a star league. star-driven league. No one wants to see the star foul out. So just, again, it's your money. Respect your money. The Spurs, my money. I like the Spurs tonight, but not as cocky or as arrogant as I usually am because of Joe Crawford. He's one of the officials tonight.
It'll be interesting to watch the game with that in mind, and then tomorrow morning when you and Anthony are discussing the game, what you have to say about it, depending on how the game unfolds tonight.
Odds Couple, heard live Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. I'm joined by Brett Grant. Monday through Thursday, every Friday, my good buddy Anthony Padilla joins me, headline comic here in Las Vegas, a good friend, heck of a guy, and unbelievably sharp when it comes to handicapping. Anthony Padilla.
No, I say not dressing, no.
As hot as we have been here on the Odds Couple, Anthony has been off the hook. The last time he lost a game, he gives out his best play every Friday. He has not lost since sometime in February. I'm 9-2 on the show. My last 11 plays. Yesterday, my game fell out. Brett, you've been on fire as well. I believe 7-4 after losing yesterday. 7-4 in your plays.
We both lost, unfortunately, yesterday, but it happens. We were on a 16-4 run.
Here's what you have. It's kind of interesting because we know the break-even point ATS against the spread handicapping is 52.4%, but I'm feeling pressure, and I'll tell you why. I'm feeling pressure because we've been on fire, man. It's right. Documented, and you lost your game yesterday. My game fell out, and today, instead of a three-camera set, we have two. We're down
a
camera.
And we don't have our executive.
Scott Whitney down for the count. So I'm concerned about what – am I going to be without a microphone tomorrow if I lose?
The budget has been slashed immensely. Jacob Cannon's still here, by the way.
Well, Jacob
is an ace.
But
we had to make some decisions last night after the game. By the way, your check will be a little – it might be pink.
That's funny. A pink slip. Yeah. I get that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Odds Couple. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Brett Grant. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. Studio line is open, 702-221-7283. Live chat up and running. We would love for you to reach out to us on The Odds Couple. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, Vegas Video Network. Right-hand side, red bar. Click there, middle of the page, green bar. Hit start recording. Live chat up and running. Studio line open, 221-7283, area code 702. If you miss this live, don't worry about it. Check us out, Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku. Frustration, that's what I'm here to talk about with my good buddy Brett Grant, because you don't have to look far to find frustration in sports, namely sports betting. Are you kidding me?
Well, are you kidding me today? I'm going to go to a baseball game that was played last night at Yankee Stadium. Phil Hughes on the mound for the New York Yankees, facing former Yankee Raul Is Cool Ibanez. Now, you're not supposed to bite the hand that once fed you, right? Ibanez is 40 years old, Scott. 40. So he's just a little younger than we are. Two home runs last night, six RBIs. John Sterling, the great announcer for the Yankees, used to say whenever Raul hit a home run with the Yankees that, "It's Raul. He is cool." And he got to do it twice last night. And in one time he said that Raul is cool. And the other time is, "How cool is Raul?" As Ibanez helped the Mariners absolutely destroy the Yankees last night, 12-2. Ibanez now has, I want to say, what, six home runs, I think, on the season, hit two of them last night, and I just thought, are you kidding me? At 40 years old, he is the oldest player ever to hit a grand slam at Yankee Stadium. So, Raul Ibanez, that's pretty cool. Are you kidding me?
Raul is cool. I have to say, my friend, last October postseason, Yankees against the O's, he single-handedly, with his hitting, beat the O's.
Right.
Returned the favor last night.
And they didn't re-sign him. So I'm wondering, are the Yankees uncool for letting Raul go?
No, they're very uncool for letting Raul go, because how do you let him walk, but you sign Vernon Wells from the Angels?
Vernon's actually had a pretty decent year.
That's the surprising part.
He had a home run yesterday. He's got 10 now.
Unbelievable. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he just wasn't getting the time. But, man, anytime he would play for the Angels, he was a complete bust. They had that big, fat contract with him. They finally let him go. But, like you say, 10 dingers already.
And he's batting .301 for the season.
Unbelievable.
He'll probably be – now, Curtis Granderson is back. Came back, I think his second game was yesterday, so he'll probably be DHing more. Will Vernon Wells, we'll see how that holds up. Or he actually played a little – here's the interesting thing. The Yankees got to be so bad last night, the final out of the game was Gonzalez, their shortstop, who pitched the final out. And guess who their second baseman was? Vernon Wells finished the game off playing second base. It got to be one of those kind of fun days.
Are you kidding me? I'm looking at football. The Green Bay Packers, storied franchise. Brett Favre, no love lost between the organization and their marquee quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, and Brett Favre. As good as Brett Favre was, he's won one more Super Bowl than Brett and me. Brett Favre left on bad terms. Why? Because he's the Derek Fisher of the NBA. Brett Favre always will be an attention whore. My least favorite football player on the planet. Well, let's see. Basketball, it would have to be Rasheed Wallace, Derek Fisher. NFL, probably Ray Lewis, my least favorite player, along with Brett Favre. Brett Favre, if you care to rejoin me down this stroll down memory lane. This guy, lazy, never wanted to work out during the offseason. He would keep the Packers guessing. Are you going to play? Are you going to retire? Are you going to sign? And he would never, ever say. Well, they picked up this star player from Cal, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers would do everything right, had a ton of potential, and they decided Favre gave them no chance. He really pushed the envelope to the very last minute, and then he finally said, okay, I want to play. They said, listen, we've already moved on without you. So they traded him to the Jets and then to the Vikings, and a ton of drama. The Packers went on, and there were hard feelings between the Packers and Brett Favre, and who could blame them? Brett Favre went on to play for the Jets, complete bust, went on to play for the Vikings, who were stacked. They were locked and loaded, and he himself cost them the NFC Championship game against the Saints. Why? Because Brett does what Brett always does in a big game. He tries to do too much and throws INTs, which he did in that game.
Yeah.
A big one. And meanwhile, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers went on to win a Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback in all of football. So now the Packers are being held to a higher standard. I give them credit, although it's not my style. No one's ever accused me of being held to a higher standard. I look at the Packers, and they're welcoming Brett Favre back into the Packer family. I think it started with Aaron Rodgers being a class act back in February, being seen with Brett Favre and saying, hey, let bygones be bygones. The Packers would like to see Brett Favre back in Green Bay on good terms, not as a player, but just, you know, again, a warm, fuzzy feeling. I'm not buying it. Brett Favre, again, are you – this guy, I don't like the guy. This is the guy who made a mockery of the NFL. Remember for the all-time, was it Michael Strahan for the all-time sack leader? He was on the hook. He was tied. So Brett Favre, let's make it about me. I'm Brett Favre, everybody. He took the snap and fell down right in front of Michael Strahan, so Strahan would have. I mean, I believe it was Gastineau was the guy that, I'm going in memory.
Yeah, probably.
So how disrespectful is that to the league? Number one. Number two, that wasn't his intent. His intent was to make him part of the record, and it backfired, and it certainly should have. But do you remember that?
I do. I do.
But maybe, you know, I should let it go.
It's such a bogus stat in the first place, the sack leader, because we all know Deacon Jones was just he would sack the popcorn vendor. I mean, he hit everybody, and they didn't keep track of sacks back in the early days of the NFL.
Well, they didn't. Not only did they not keep track but they also played 14 games, 12 yeah, games, right. 14 games instead of the 16 that you play today.
Yeah, it's like comparing eras with Bob Gibson pitching versus a guy like Clayton Kershaw pitching today, is because you can't compare the amount of innings that those guys threw versus the amount of innings that they throw now, and it's a completely different era. Live ball era, dead ball era in baseball, whatever. Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points back then versus Kobe's 80, whatever he scored.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Whether you're talking about comics, speakers,
yeah,
football players, people today are better today than they've ever been. Right. I mean, Bruce Jenner, 1976, was the man. How do you think he'd do today? I mean, age notwithstanding.
Yeah. Well, he's got all those Kardashians to worry about. I mean, he's got more problems than anybody I know. But if he had the same training regimen that those guys had today when he was running in the 1976 Olympics, I'm sure he would do very well. I think the great athletes are always the great athletes. I mean, Wilt Chamberlain would still be dominant in today's basketball world.
But we're still faster, bigger,
right,
stronger,
but if he
better,
had the same,
more educated today.
But
we
if,
know things today
right,
that we didn't know
but
2,000
if, but
years
if
ago.
But if Wilt had the same advantages that the modern athlete is, he certainly would be as good, I think, or better.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you bring up Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, the guy was a man amongst children.
He was without a lot of bodily fluids for most of his life, and look what he did.
You know, that's why I respect Bill Russell more than I do
right,
Wilt Chamberlain. Bill Russell, because he was the man who was at 13 NBA titles,
right,
and he was the man who would contain or slow down Wilt Chamberlain. So
that's,
I mean, otherwise it would be like me going against a bunch of junior high kids.
But I'm saying, okay, let's take a guy like Oscar Robertson, who everybody agrees is a terrific player. If Oscar Robertson was born in 1985 and was playing in the NBA, or let's say 1995, and he was the same age as Russell Westbrook is now, do you think Oscar Robertson would be as good as Russell Westbrook? Of course he would, if not better. He'd be the best point guard in the league.
Interesting.
If he had the same training, the same nutritional information, the same coaching, and, of course, all of his own intangibles that he brought to the table.
How do you feel about Brett Favre and the Packers making up? Do you care?
No, I don't really care. I think it's unnatural. It's always nice to have a guy who's beloved, and he was beloved, having that guy back in the fold. That's one of the reasons why I go back to the Cardinals a lot. They bring all those guys back in, all their Hall of Famers, all the guys that made the franchise special, and we see it with Stan Musial, but Ozzie Smith and Lou Brock and Red Shandings and Bruce Sutter. Even though Bruce Sutter played for multiple teams, he comes back and he's in his red coat on opening day at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, where he could be in Chicago, he could be in Atlanta, where he had success, but he won championships there. So, I don't have a problem with that at all.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 radio, live and worldwide, simulcast on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, featured on PritchardsPicks.com, joined by Brett Grant, the GM here at KSHP. This is an exciting part of the show because this is where we together put money into your pocket, as Brett and I together put you on the right side.
Today's right side for me, but in a moment, I'll do it in a moment. Yesterday, I was on the wrong side of a game. Yesterday, I gave you the over-under in the Cardinals and Mets game, kind of going against Shelby Miller after his one-hitter, thinking he would give up some runs. He did. Actually only pitched five innings yesterday. He left with giving up no runs in the game, ironically. Didn't throw a lot last night. I think that pitch count, the Cardinal pitchers have had a lot of pitches. But today I'm going to go to another baseball game. I'm looking at another total, this one involving the Tampa Bay Rays and the Boston Red Sox. A 9-2 game yesterday went easily over the total. Tampa is 23-11 to the over this year, and Boston is 21-18. So those two teams combined, 44-29 to the over. And again, Scott's taught me anything under 9 is kind of the magic number when it comes to the American League. This game's sitting at 8.5, at 8.5. I'm going to go over the 8.5. Again, a matchup where I think two teams offensively are really swinging the bats real well, and I think we'll see another offensive game in Tampa.
Interesting. Again, the more you know, the more you grow, you have an advantage. He with the most information oftentimes wins in life. It certainly applies to professional sports betting. We've been talking about how the Rays have been a dead over team. The Red Sox, a slight over team, 21-18. But, wow, I mean, that's one more tool that you can, or one more weapon you can use in your arsenal when it comes to handicapping these games. And we talk about 9, American League being a key number, 7 being a key number. A lot of the same information the odds makers, the sports books know. You need to know as much, if not more, than they do to give yourself. Their job is tougher, believe it or not. Their job, they have to post a side total money line point spread on each and every game. Your job is to be selective. Find value, spot your picks, pick your spots, and never pick your nose. All right, to recap my play from yesterday before we get to my right side, 9-1. I had won 9 of my last 10 games on this show. Yesterday, I liked Price at home. He took himself out. Tightness, and here's the thing. And I want to talk to you about this, Brett, because we were talking before the show about how he's primarily a fastball pitcher.
Well, a couple of years ago, he threw about 75% of his pitches were fastballs. This year, and I don't know if you will get into the sabermetrics of baseball, I'm starting to, he's throwing only about 54% of his pitches for fastballs. So that tells you that his fastball is not as lively as it once used to be. So that's maybe an indication that he's not fit. And you saw that last night where he left the game early.
If you're a one and done, if all you have is a fastball, now again, he's a very good pitcher, David Price. I've made a lot of money with this guy, and I'm giving it back this year.
Right.
I like David Price, but here's the problem. There's a difference between a pitcher and, say, a thrower. I think of Floyd Yeomans, who used to throw 98, 99 miles an hour for the Montreal Expos, but he basically had 1-2 good years, and then he's out, because no matter how good of a fastball that you have, if major league players are sitting on that fastball, they will eventually will jack it out of the park. So you need to change it up with a slider, or a split-fingered fastball, or knuckleball, whatever, you're a screwball, whatever. You have to be able to change it up. That's what I loved about Greg Maddux, was he was not right. Even that's the word I was looking for. But you look at Greg Maddux, for instance. That guy, longevity wise, was second to none. He was not a thrower. He was a pitcher.
Well, the thing about Greg Maddux was, and as he got older, obviously your velocity drops. He was a great pitcher from the standpoint of location, location, location. You see it, and it's important in business. It's certainly important to be a pitcher. He could put the ball wherever he needed to put the ball. And he got some calls off the plate, but he knew how to pitch guys. He knew where he needed to pitch guys, and he was successful because he understood that.
Looking at a baseball game today, the Cincinnati Reds are on the road taking on the Miami Marlins. I like the total for the game is 7. I have an opinion on this game. Now, keep in mind, I'm 9-2, 9-1 going into yesterday before getting on David Price, big fat loser there. 9-2, my last 11 plays, ATS and or against the spread. I bet totals a lot in baseball, and I tend to be a dog player in baseball. I'm looking at a total, the Reds, Marlins. The total is 7. My money, under. Under the 7, I just don't see 8 runs being scored in this game. And, you know, oftentimes it's not who starts, but who is coming out of the bullpen. Now, Chapman, as far as a save guy, man, this guy, tremendous. Forget the numbers. To me, he might be the best closer in all of baseball.
Well, when you throw it 100 miles an hour and you're left-handed, that's a deadly combination. You know, one thing, there's a huge advantage to being a left-handed pitcher, first of all, no matter how hard you throw. And then when you take the velocity of a guy who can throw it 100 miles an hour, and just a little bit of wildness makes people nervous. You saw that with a guy like Mitch Williams back in the day.
Well, he was more wild than anything else.
Right, but he was more of a thrower. But Aroldis Chapman is the same kind of guy. He can go up in the zone and just enough to get you thinking that the next one might be in your ear hole, and then he comes up and throws a nasty slider, and you're sitting back down on the bench. He might be the most challenging guy to hit right now, especially in a late-game situation where your game's on the line and you only get to see him once. You don't get to make adjustments like you do against a starting pitcher.
Well, I mean, I'm a big Chapman fan for the Reds, but also the numbers show that Rivera for the Yankees is on fire early. And, of course, the Cardinals bullpen closer is outstanding as well. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. My name is Scott Pritchard. Check me out at PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, Tim Donahue's site, RefPicks.com. We're here Monday through Friday. Brett Grant is with me through Thursdays. Tomorrow I'll be joined by my good buddy Anthony Padilla. For Brett Grant, I'm Scott Pritchard. Good luck and goodbye.